Take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 3. Tonight we're going to take a trip to prison, to the prison gate. And we're going around the city. The gate's in order counterclockwise. Last week we hit the sheep gate, the fish gate. This week we're going to the third gate. And let's see if you can pick up a problem. Let's go to verse 1. Let's read verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, "And Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, and they sanctified it, and set the doors of it, even unto the tower of Naah, and they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded..." So the first need of man is salvation. Sheep gate, Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. And what's interesting about this gate, there's no bars or locks. It's free to all. "Come, all ye that will." It's the Old Testament. But God in the Old Testament was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God had one plan for mankind, and that's redemption of mankind. And you can see that right in the beginning from Genesis chapter 3. Listen, it did not surprise... Brother Mark, how are you? Were you here for the missionary presentation? You did not see the snow. You need to get with brother. I turned around to see if you were there. When I saw the snow, I looked for you, and I did not see you sitting in that spot. So you need to see Brother Oldenburg before you leave and see that picture. You, of all people, need to see what real snow looks like. Yeah, you, sir. Okay. Where were we? Christ has a plan, and that's been salvation. Salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve knew, and they were looking towards the cross. Now, Eve thought, when she had her firstborn son, that was the child that had been, the man that had been promised by the Lord. So her understanding was not perfect. This is a Tim Meyer question. Okay, you ready for this? So why did she think that? She got, supposedly, her instruction directly from God Himself, right? Is it possible that she was listening to Satan again? And Satan said, "Ha, God gave you the promise seed, isn't that neat?" Satan's been all along the way to thwart God's plan. Just kind of an interesting thought, something for you to think about and consider. But did she have that wrong? She absolutely had it wrong. She got the right information from God. She got the wrong thought from somebody else. I would say she's already been listening to Satan. She's probably listening to him again. But it's something for you to discuss. You and Greg Parsons get together, come to a solution on that. And then you guys go. You both can school me. God's got a plan. And so here we see in the Old Testament, in Nehemiah chapter 1, the sheep gate, God's still got a plan. Salvation by grace through faith. There is a preacher out there. He is now in heaven. He has a Bible college that preaches that there are no less than 27 different methods of salvation based on the different dispensations, and there are more yet to come. Salvation is only by grace through faith in this dispensation. There's a Greek word for that, hogwash. Hogwash, absolute hogwash. And I'm thinking about doing a series on Wednesday night, once we get through Nehemiah, on God and missions in the Old Testament. Just kind of interesting. Verse 2, "Next unto builded the men of Jericho, next to them builded Zichar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate," now we come to the fish gate, that's number 2, going counterclockwise around the city. The fish gate, what is that? First thing you need after you get saved, start telling people about Christ. Grab and go. Grab a set of gospel tracts and go. Andrew went out and found his brother Peter. And Peter's glad he did. And Peter was an influential character in the New Testament. God used him to write a couple of books in the New Testament. God also documented some of his foot-in-mouth moments to help resonate with the rest of us. I can picture myself saying, "Not so, Lord. Peter was always saying, hey, hey. When he wist not to say, Peter said, hey, let's build a tabernacle. When you don't know what to say, you probably shouldn't say anything. But Peter's there he is. He didn't know what to say. So, hey, let's build a tabernacle. God, just shake your head. But there's hope. And God used him in a mighty way. God can use you. Go fishing. Go take the gospel message. Verse 4, next unto them repaired Memorah, the son of Urijah, the son of Kaz. Next unto them repaired Meshulam, that guy, son of, him too. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bena. Verse 5, and next unto them the Tekoahites repaired, but their nobles, this is a sad thing, put not their necks to the work of the Lord. There's always a group that's not going to do it. And then, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada. Say, preacher, you mentioned the prison gate. Well, I sure did. That's where we're starting tonight, at the prison gate. Wait a minute, preacher, you said we're going clockwise, counterclockwise. Yes, we are. And preacher, I know that it says sheep gate, right? Number 2 is the fish gate, correct. And number 3, it says the old gate. You are absolutely right. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and pray that as we go through the text this evening, that you would help us to understand your word and that we would be encouraged by all. And we'll praise you for what you do tonight as we understand the gates, the meanings thereof, and how it impacts our life today. And we'll thank you for that knowledge and the ability to be a better witness for you, to better understand your love for us and our need to be a light to the world. As we look to your word, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 12. Say, preacher, you said we're in chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 12. There are 8 main gates of the city. In order, they are the sheep gate, the fish gate, and the old gate. But nestled between, those are the main gates of the city, but there are 2 minor gates that are listed in Nehemiah chapter 12 that fall between the fish gate and the old gate. And we're going to look at those 2 as part of our study this evening. They are not part of the 8 main gates. So I guess if you were living in an apartment, you'd call this gate 2A, 2B, and 2C. They're little gates. They're not main gates of the city, but they were little gates between the fish gate and the old gate. And they're found in chapter 12. Let's start at verse 39. Chapter 12, Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 39. Not much said about them, except this. And from above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananel, the tower of Maah, even unto the sheep gate, they stood still in the prison gate. So we have been introduced to 2 gates here, Ephraim and the prison gate fall in there. So again, if you're going counterclockwise, you've got the sheep gate, you've got the fish gate, and then there's a little gate there that is known as the prison gate, not a main gate of the city. So I would not call this gate 3. Chapter 3 is talking about main gates. But this is a significant gate. Prison gate was where they brought prisoners in and out of the city. And so my first question in seeing that was to ask myself, is this the gate from which they led the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is no, it is not. But it is quite a picture of final judgment. It is. The entrance to the lake of fire, God's eternal prison. And I put that in here and in this particular study because, number one, that's where it falls. And we would have been perfectly fine to leave it out and to attach and to look at it when we got chapter 12 and just point out this is not a main gate of the city, which is why we didn't discuss it in chapter 3. But I just thought it interesting that even though it is not a main gate of the city, in following the gates, even the insignificant ones, counterclockwise, that when you come to Christ and you go through the fish gate, understanding that you need to be a soul winner, if we fail at that task, the prison gate, hellfire, final judgment, is a real possibility for those that do not know Christ. When we fail as a Christian to embrace the gospel mandate to be a fisher of men, real people die. And it's just sad because it's unnecessary. The prison gate, God's eternal prison. If that person that you're talking to decides not to go through the sheep gate, they are absolutely going to go through the prison gate of final judgment, the lake of fire. We studied that and memorized that last year in chapter 20 of Revelation. If you decide you're going to go into eternity another way, that makes you a criminal. Last week, and we'll not take the time this evening to go back to John chapter 10, verse 1 through 16. What did the text say last week? He that cometh in another way is a thief and a robber. What is that? He is a sinner. He is a criminal. And he is going to be tried as such. What is that? That's a person that tries to get into the fold another way. There is no other way but through the door, through Jesus Christ. And that person may say, well, I'm a pretty good person. No, no, sir. You are a thief. You are a robber because you are trying to get into the fold another way. And that might be a good salvation plan, a salvation witnessing tool for you. Verse 10 of John 10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all criminal activity. And that's the doom, that person that says, well, I'm a pretty good person. You're not, when you go to criminal court, the judge doesn't want to hear that you're a pretty good person. He's going to hear evidence, and he's going to find you guilty based on the evidence. Okay, you're a pretty good thief, killer, robber, and you're going to be tried and found guilty and have to go through that prison gate. And what is the wage? Well, we know Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. The entrance to God's prison is death. And don't forget, Christian, before we get to be highfalutin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So show some appreciation to God. Rather than saying to God, why me, why now, why this? Why don't you just say, thank God that God made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might have that righteousness. It was 11:30 p.m., nighttime, on Sunday, March the 10th, 2024, just a couple of weeks ago. The alarm sounded in the prison. The state police were notified. The local sheriff was notified in a little community of Standish, Michigan. Standish, Michigan is about right there. I mean, there's nothing there. There in the summertime, there's a couple of canoe liveries up there, and you might go canoeing on the Rifle River or the Osabo River. But really, the biggest employer in Standish is the prison. And so everybody's going. Again, state police are going. The local sheriff is going. Local people are going. There's an alarm at the prison. And so it was 47, just in case you want to know how to get there, 4713 M16. M stand for Michigan, or M61, I should say. And they got there and they surrounded the place and they found that the front gate, the lock, had been cut. And so they started doing bob and peek and started going building to building. And when they got into the warden's office, they found some things that had been pillaged. And then they found some glass that had been broken. And then they found 42-year-old Cody L. Bellamy. Who had broken into prison. The prison had been closed since 2009. And he said that he just wanted to see what the inside of a prison looked like. Well, I'll just say 11:30 at night is probably not the best time to do that. And maybe to call the person that's in charge that maybe has a key to the gate might be a good way to go visit that. Or, you know, better yet, just go to one of the prisons that have a tour the next day and go see that rather than breaking in. Well, then they found that he had some... burglarious tools
So tools of criminal activity, and obviously he had cut the lock, and so they locked him up for breaking and entering into prison. Can you imagine the shame of that? Can you imagine the shame of going to hell unnecessarily? I mean, how many friends, acquaintances, are you willing to allow to go to hell unnecessarily? It's a probing question. It's the prison gate. Chapter 12 also talks about the gate Ephraim. Again, it's not a main gate, but the gate Ephraim is there. You've got, again, the sheep gate, the fish gate, the prison gate, and then gate Ephraim before you get to the third main gate, which is the old gate. The gate Ephraim is also called the gate of Benjamin. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 13 says, "And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there. Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." It is called the Ephraim gate because it led to the territory of both Ephraim and Benjamin. So Ephraim gate was associated with the public square. And I just find this interesting that these two gates are mentioned, again, mentioned in chapter 12, not main gates, but kind of side gates, kind of a lot of times preachers get on rabbit trails. These might be rabbit trail gates. Why? Because a lot of us live there. It was called the Ephraim gate because this gate is where it led to the public square. It's what the city folks would use to come have a time of fellowship. Hey, meet me at the Ephraim gate. If it were today, there'd probably be a Starbucks there. You know, a place where people would go and congregate and get, Dunkin' Donuts would probably be there. Amanda was just about ready to have a heart attack and a meltdown there. But anyways, it was a place where people would come and they would gather. It reminds me of church. Churches, here we are on Wednesday night, and we're here, we come and gather. And we sing, we have a teacher's meeting, we have a fellowship. Brother Monday and I sat down for a few minutes and fellowship. Brother Rick and I talked about fellowship. Natalie and I fellowshipped a little bit. I picked on Miss May when she walked in the door. Such an easy target. What are we doing? We're fellowshipping, encouraging one another. How was your day? What you got going on? How can I help you? I think about my best friends in the whole world. They're right here in church. If I had a problem, I would call somebody here in this room. And as I look at things of life, I think of you. So I'm looking at the pictures tonight that Brother Oldenburg put up here, and he put up a picture of the new baby, right? And I looked at the baby and I thought, well, that looks just like Neri. That's got to be what Neri looked like when she was a baby. I mean, so cute, right? Okay, yeah, it's a cute baby, wasn't it? Yeah, and she back, what can she say? She can't say no. But I'm looking at it and going, oh, you know, that reminds me of Neri. And I see things in life and they remind me of you. I think some things happen to me during the day and I'm reminded to pray for you. Your name comes up or email comes up or I'm just driving down the road and I see Oldenburg, Virginia. And I think, I'm gonna pray for Brother O. And to be reminded that Ephraim Gate, again, a fellowship gate. We gather together, we listen to God's word. Brother Tim Meyer got up here a couple of weeks ago and he provoked us and admonished us on Saturday morning to provoke one another to love and to good works. That's a good thing. And I needed that. And I was provoked. And then this last Saturday, Ray DeGuzman got up and gave a wonderful exposition on how we ought to be forward-looking. He talked about how many square inches were in a windshield and that we should be looking forward and how many square inches. I'm going to mention this again on Sunday. Brother Oldenburg has mentioned it. I've now mentioned it twice. By the time Sunday gets here, I'll have mentioned it three times. And I'm going to get great mileage out of that. And where did I get that Saturday morning? Coming through the Ephraim gate. Not a main gate of the city by any stretch of the imagination, but a gate where fellow believers would go to congregate, to fellowship with one another,
to encourage one another. And we do that on a regular basis. So what is that, Brother Ray? The windshield, I wrote down the dimensions. 1,858 square inches. The rear view mirror, 16 square inches. I'm not sure if that's the same numbers he gave us. I had to do my own math. His math is better. What's the difference? Hindsight is 0.9%. 0.009 is what it comes out to. 0.9%. It's just insignificant. Looking in the rear. Don't be rear looking. Look forward. Anyways, who gave that challenge? I didn't. Brother Ray DeGuzman did. And it is a great thing to remember. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. It is important to consider that your actions, what you are going to say today, is going to have a profound impact on somebody in the future. So Tim, again, shared something on Saturday morning that impacted my life, and I'm thankful for that. Brother Ray shared something this last Saturday morning that impacted my life, and I'm thankful for that. Many times on the Saturday morning challenge, I've been challenged by Brother Corey and Brother Oldenburg, and I've gone up to them afterward. And Brother Warren, Mr. Starbucks, Mr. Dunkin' Donuts guy back there. And then challenged and said, hey, that was really good. That was really good. That spoke to my heart. And we encourage one another, and we receive, and we should receive instruction and fellowship and encouragement. And again, very important to foresee what is going on. I don't know if you've watched any of the news of this week. There's a major news story that hit the wires this week. A man and a woman are having a baby, and they're fighting over the name. Husband and wife. He wants it to be a family name that recognizes him. And so if it's a boy, they're going to name it after him. Stuart. She said, fine, that's great. We'll name him Stuart. She said, now we've got to come up with a girl's name. And he said, well, if it's a girl, I want the name to reflect me. So if it's a girl, we're going to call her Stuarta. Okay, all the women in the room are going, nah, nah. And you know, the internet has just exploded with, what are you thinking? You self-centered, narcissistic male of a man, you. That just because you add an A to the end of a name doesn't automatically make it feminine. It makes it S-T-U-P-I-D, which is an unkind word, but it doesn't make it smart. And then people would say, oh, that poor girl, her whole life she's going to go to school. And they're going to say, Stuarta, 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 Stuart. Ah, you know, and they're going to pick on her whole life. What is he not seeing? He's not seeing the future. And it appears that he doesn't want to. And so the husband and wife, I mean, they've had a major brouhaha about this. And the internet is just, do your own research. Go home and look it up. Stuarta? I don't think so, but that's what we want. But how about this one? You talk about crazy names that people name their kids that have no concern over the future. For Micah Dinette. Dad had six boys, and he wanted a girl. Oh, he wanted a girl. And my dad wanted a girl in the worst way. But the first baby coming along, and Dad says, I want Twyla Rose. Twyla Rose. And my mom goes, no. And then the second boy came along, and Dad said, I want a girl, Twyla Rose. And mom goes, no. I'm not going to give you a girl. If that's going to be the name, I'm not going to give you one. And then four and five and six came along, and finally Dad said, okay, what name do you want? And Mom said, Ruth Ann, and they had their girl. What do we need? We need to be forward-looking. We need to fellowship. We need to encourage one another. We need to give admonition, provoking, helping, encouraging, foreseeing that if I'm not here, if I'm not in my place, if I'm not doing my thing, if I'm not at the Ephraim gate, The gate of fellowship, encouraging this. Somebody might quit. It's just important. Which takes us back to chapter 3 and the third main gate. The third main gate is the old gate. It's the third gate, those two gates, Ephraim gate and the prison gate, nestled in between, not as primary gates, but as the primary gate. Think with me, sheep gate salvation, fish gate telling people about Christ, and that new believer is not going to get very far in their Christian life before they realize, boy, there is a need for the old gate. I just say, here we are in 2024, and there is a need for the old gate. There is a need for the old paths wherein we should walk. There's just a necessity for that. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Pesha, the son of Meshullam, the son of Besoadah, and they laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And there's just some things that should be locked down. Just the way it is. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need new methods. We don't need 27 different ways of salvation. Why? Because there aren't 27 different ways of salvation. There is only one mediator between God, man, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one sacrifice. Hebrews tells us the blood of bulls and goats would never atone for sin. It was the spotless Lamb of God. And so here are the Old Testament folks. They're bringing a lamb, lamb after lamb after lamb. And all of a sudden, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And it's like, whoa, God's never provided a lamb before. And every Jewish person would say, now this is a lamb that I provided. This is a lamb that our family provided. But this is God's lamb? That should have gotten every Jew's attention. But it didn't. What did they do? They shut their minds to the old gate, to what that sacrificial lamb was to point to. God revealed himself to them through his word. And God does the same thing to us today. Some people say, "But you know, if I were in the Old Testament and God showed himself to me, man, I'd pay attention." I mean, you've got a Bible. You got a Bible? God will show himself to you through this book. Say, if I could just hear God speak. Read out loud. And you'll hear the words of God audibly. God still speaks through his word. God still gives direction through his word. It's not an old, outdated book. It just needs to be open. It tells us to whom we ought to worship. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But sadly, many professing Christians state, "But we will not walk therein." And that's the problem with Christianity, not just in 2024, but in every year going back to when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Satan wants you to say, "Yea, hath God said." God said, "I got a plan. It's right here. It's right here." But sadly, we're like the Athenians of Acts chapter 17, verse 21. "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Hey, get in the Bible. Turn off the internet. Stop listening, trying to figure out every new thing, every mathematical code, every aligning of the planets. And just get your Bible out and figure out that God's got a plan for man. It's called redemption. And God's got a plan for you, and that's to be a light. And let that light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Be a soul-winning station. It's interesting. I follow archaeology, I especially Middle East archaeology. I like to see what's coming out of Jerusalem. And they just found the oldest recorded gate, the oldest one they found, 5,500 years old. And Mrs. Bishop thinks I keep things around for a long time. I haven't kept anything 5,500 years. But here's this old gate. Tell Arana, 5 foot
stone passage with two leading into two guard towers. I'm just saying, God's got a plan. Every gate's got a purpose. And God wants us to walk in the gate of salvation, sheep gate. God wants us to make sure that we are faithful in using that fish gate, telling people about Christ. And don't stop it. Stop looking for something new that nobody else has ever seen in God's Word. Seek for the old paths, the old truths, the old doctrines. Figure out what God's plan is from the book of Genesis right through the book of Revelation, and it's not changed since the beginning. The only thing that's gotten worse is the sinful heart of men. But God should find in church people that have a heart for Him. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the gates, and I pray that we'd be challenged to walk through the gates and to keep people from going through that prison gate. May we point them to You, bring them through the fish gate and to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we'll praise You for Your salvation throughout all eternity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.